Let's read together Numbers chapter 9. In this chapter, we have the celebration of the Passover and further instructions concerning the Passover. We also have a description of how God led his people through the wilderness by means of his cloud. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it. So Moses told the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at twilight, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did. Now there were certain men who were defiled by a human corpse, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron that day. And those men said to him, We became defiled by a human corpse. Why are we kept from presenting the offering of the Lord at its appointed time among the children of Israel? And Moses said to them, Stand still, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, If any one of you or your posterity is unclean because of a corpse or is far away on a journey, he may still keep the Lord's Passover. On the 14th day of the second month, at twilight, they may keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break one of its bones. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and ceases to keep the Passover, that same person shall be cut off from among his people, because he did not bring the offering of the Lord at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger dwells among you and would keep the Lord's Passover, he must do so according to the rite of the Passover and according to its ceremony. You shall have one ordinance both for the stranger and the native of the land. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. We see from verse 1 that we are going back in time in this chapter. The date given here in verse 1 is even before the date of the census that was taken back in chapter 1. Verse 1 of chapter 1 says that the census was taken in the second month of the second year. And the date here in chapter 9 is in the first month of the second year. So the significant events that we've seen thus far in our study of the book of Numbers were in the following order. The erection of the tabernacle was on the first day of the first month of the second year after they came out of Egypt, according to Exodus chapter 40, verse 17. Then there followed the 12 days of dedication of the altar and temple that we read about in chapter 7 of Numbers. Then came the lighting of the lamps on the golden lampstand in the tabernacle, and the consecration of the Levites that we read about in Numbers chapter 8. Now on the 14th day of this first month, the Passover was celebrated, as we see here in verse 5 of chapter 9. Verse 5 once again. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did. So there we have a brief summary and overview of the order of events covered thus far in the book of Numbers. Now, in reference to the Passover, remember that the Passover was instituted back in chapter 12 of Exodus. Here in Numbers chapter 9, we don't have the institution of the Passover, but here we have the first annual celebration of the Passover after the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, God expects his people to remember how he saved them. God expects his people to remember how he saved them. Question, why were the children of Israel to keep the Passover every year? Answer, in keeping the Passover, the children of Israel remembered how God had delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt at the time of the Exodus. Remember, at that time, they had to apply the blood of the Passover lamb to their homes, and under the protection of that blood, the angel of death passed over that house. God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. What a picture of salvation. In fact, the word redeemed is used in reference to this great deliverance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we read, "Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." As the children of Israel had to apply the blood of the Passover lamb to their homes, so we must apply the blood of Christ to our lives for salvation. We must trust in Christ not just as a great moral leader, but as the one who shed his blood and died on the cross for our sins. We must accept him as our personal Savior. And now, as God expected the children of Israel to remember their salvation from slavery in Egypt, so God expects us to remember our salvation from the penalty of sin. You know, this is what we do in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. We remember how God saved us. The Lord Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins. His body was broken. His blood was shed. He gave himself for us. God expects his people to remember how he saved them. In verses 6 through 8, we see that a question came up concerning some men who couldn't celebrate the Passover on the appointed day. They wanted to keep the Passover, but they were ceremonially unclean at this time. Well, the Lord graciously said that anyone who was unclean or on a distant journey could celebrate the Passover 1 month later. However, anyone who was clean and not on a distant journey at the appointed time, anyone in that category was expected to observe the Passover at the appointed time. If someone deliberately neglected the Passover with no good reason, that person was to be cut off, verse 13. They were to be cut off from the people, either banished or put to death. Now, I think there's a spiritual application here for us. You see it? God expects us to keep the Lord's Supper regularly. The Lord Jesus asked us to remember him. Now, we don't do this legalistically. And if we're sick or on a distant journey, etc., etc., there's no problem if we miss the regular sacrifice of the Lord's Supper. However, if we deliberately and willfully refuse to celebrate the Lord's Supper, it may be an indication of a deeper problem, maybe even an indication of unbelief, for which excommunication might be in order. God expects his people to remember how he saved them. Doctrinal point number 2. God expects his people to follow where he leads them. God expects his people to follow where he leads them. Verses 15 through 23. Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. From evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle, like the appearance of fire. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that, the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning. When the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained encamped, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. The cloud that we read of here in Numbers chapter 9 was a sign of the presence of the Lord. We first read of this cloud back in Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. I'll read those verses. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. We read in Exodus chapter 14 that God used his cloud to protect Israel from the Egyptians before the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And we read in Exodus chapter 33 that the cloud was present when the Lord spoke with Moses. Now here in Numbers chapter 9, we see that God used his cloud to guide his people step by step through the wilderness. This was the glory cloud, known as the Shekinah glory, meaning God's presence dwelling in the midst of his people. When Israel camped, the cloud rested over the tabernacle. When Israel marched, the cloud led them. God sovereignly determined where his people moved and when they moved. Sometimes the cloud remained in the same location for many months. Sometimes the cloud moved overnight. We can already hear a reason for their complaining. Why doesn't the cloud move? I'm sick and tired of this same old location. We've been here for months. Or on the other hand, I can't believe the cloud is moving already. We've only been here for a day. I just got my tent set up. We would never complain like this, would we? All of this has obvious lessons for us, doesn't it? God expects his people to follow where he leads them. This principle applies to God's people as individuals, and it applies to God's people collectively. Take, for example, your local church. If you are part of a fellowship of true believers, God expects your church to follow him, not the other way around. Many church leaders expect God to follow them when they should be looking to the Lord for guidance. The Lord wants to guide your church as to policies and programs. Are you willing to follow? God expects his people to follow where he leads them. Practical application. Leave the where and the when to God. Leave the where and the when to God. We see from this chapter that God sovereignly determined where his people moved, and when his people moved. You know, the same is true today for every individual believer. In Psalm 32 and verse 8, God gives us a great promise. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That's a pretty good guidance system, isn't it? What a promise. The Lord knows the where and the when that's best for us. Does the Lord know when we should make our next job change? Of course he does. Does the Lord know where we should move our family? Of course he does. And the Lord will show us his will as we wait on him. Don't race ahead of God, and don't act independently without God. Leave the where and the when to God.